Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.
Like I said in my program last week, I said God doesn't care if you spill a little milk. God doesn't care if you mess up a little bit. But what does he care about? He cares about whether you're fair with people and whether you don't hate them and don't resent them and don't judge them and don't dump on them. He cares that you are patient with your kids.
Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is Discipline with the Divine. And now, here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
Hi, everyone. Got a great show for you today. I'm going to play for you some audio from a YouTube video that I made, a YouTube lecture. It's about God's economy and how much to give and how much not to give. Some of us do and do and do and give to other people, and we're totally drained, and they don't appreciate it. So in that video, I'm going to talk about that and how to get into God's economy so you can give with the right measure and withhold with the right measure and receive benefits from God for right giving and right withholding. But first, I want to talk about the spiritual life, which is basically how to find your Creator. So I'm going to show you that video in the second half of today's program, so be sure to stay tuned for that. But first, I want to talk about finding the spiritual life, which really means finding God. So let me begin. And I may repeat some of the things that I'm going to say in the YouTube clip, but here's the nice thing about playing the audio from the YouTube, and that is that you will also get to watch it on YouTube. You'll get to watch this video being made, and you'll be able to watch the original one. So it's just really great. Oh, incidentally, how do you find me on YouTube? Well, the easiest way is to go to my website, sheddingshackles.com, and click on watch, and then it says go to Roland's YouTube. That's the easiest way, right there. It takes you right to my YouTube channel. So that would be good. So experiencing God. Now, I make the startling statement, but here's what I said. I said that what we need is to experience God. So not just a fleeting experience of him, but all the time. But in order for that to happen, first of all, you have to want it to happen. You have to want him in your life. And secondly, you have to be willing to admit if you should discover that you've been making some mistakes or doing something wrong, then you have to be willing to admit it. And admitting it in the light of God means admitting it in the light of his goodness. And in the light of his goodness, you see your own wrong. And what can you experience but a little bit of embarrassment or sorrow over what you see, or a lot of sorrow if you did something really bad, like hating your parents, for example. Have you ever done something wrong to a good person who knew you did something, you didn't do them right? They knew it, but they didn't hate you. It makes you feel really bad. In the light of their goodness, their kindness, you see your own wrong. It makes you feel double bad. But that's good. It's good to sense your wrong and be sorry for it in the light of, see, but a lot of us, we've never known true goodness. And so we've never experienced that. People always messed it up. Yeah, maybe your parents were decent, but they messed it up, because they added something to it. They yelled at you, or they lectured you, or they themselves were making mistakes, or they tempted you to judge them. They messed it up.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles with Roland Trujillo, Christian stress management on the radio for over 34 years.
Let's get back to the point that I haven't yet made. The point that I haven't yet made is this. if you want to experience God, then all you have to do is do something wrong. And if you have any connection with your conscience at all, if it's alive, then you will feel guilty. You'll sense that you did something wrong. You know, you get mad at somebody, or you say something mean to somebody, or you're impatient, or somebody comes to you and they ask for a little help and you brush them off. Then afterwards, what do you feel? You feel bad. Or you parents, your kids are there and they're under so much pressure, your kids. In school, there's drug pressure, peer pressure, academic pressure, grade pressure, performance pressure, sports pressure, all kinds of pressures. And they come home, and what do? You pressure them. All right. So you pressure you yell at or you're impatient with them. Then afterwards, you feel bad. All right. That's your conscience. That is your conscience. And conscience is your closest link to God. And if you feel you do something wrong to someone, you're unfair with them, or you're mean to them, or you're impatient with them, it can be a very subtle thing. But you sense that you did something that wasn't quite right. You sense it. And not a false guilt. You know, like people lay trips on you. They say, oh, you should do more for the poor. You should give more money. You should tithe more. You should study more. You should exercise more. You know, but that's a whole different topic. Not that. Just some simple little thing, like your little brother or sister comes up to you and they want to ask you something, and you're too busy with your iPhone and whatever, and so you brush them off. Yeah, but then afterwards, maybe you feel bad. Well, that's your conscience. All right. And so that is proof that God exists. The inner light from Him, in which you sense your own error. And what is conscience? Conscience is 20/20 hindsight. It's intuition. Look, intuition is present sight, foresight, and hindsight if you don't follow it. So Christ said, you know, if you love me, then do what I ask you to do. Or if you want to be my disciple, then do what I say. See, that doing part is very important. So if you kind of sense what is right, or on the other hand, you sense what is not right, and you just don't go that way, something's not quite right, you don't go that way, you go a different way. You may not know that it's right, and you don't know anything. All you know is that that way, it doesn't sit right with you somehow, so you go this way instead. Well, that's your intuition. It's wordless. You know, talk to any police officer, law enforcement officer, or somebody who's been in combat, or someone who is in extreme situations. They know that they have to trust their intuition. It's a guide. It's actually an infallible guide. You trust your intuition. It leads you to safety or steers you away from, but it can be very subtle. You go one way instead of the other way. If you went that way, then something bad might have happened, would have happened. Instead, you go this way. You don't know what would have happened. You have no idea. All you know is that you're following your intuition. See?
Roland will be right back after this short announcement. Thank you. You're listening to Shedding Shackles Radio, a breath of fresh air on the radio. Shedding Shackles podcasts are available at Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back. And now, here's Roland.
And when it comes to people, that's where it's very important. See, God cares a lot about people. See, that's proof. So proof that God exists is that you can sense Him within when you err. Proof that God exists is you have conflict with Him when you play God, when you puff up and lord it over someone, or try to show them up, or when you take credit for something, try to make yourself look really, really great, then you're playing God. bossing people around, manipulating people, trying to manipulate situations, trying to change people. Never works, does it? It backfires. But you're playing God. If you have any closeness at all to your intuition, then you'll experience conflict. That's conflict with the real God because you're playing God. So there's another proof that God, you could feel, you can sense it within your own being. All right. And then another proof is the proof that God is good. So we've had three proofs of God's existence, two proofs, and now a proof that God is good. And how do we know he's good? Because you can sense what he cares about. Like I said in my program last week, I said, God doesn't care if you spill a little milk. He doesn't care if you get a spot on your clothes. God doesn't care if you mess up a little bit. If you don't get an A, you get an A minus. He doesn't care. Other people might give you a hard time. He doesn't care if you don't find the best deal online. He doesn't care if you're not popular. He doesn't care if you miss the free throw and the team loses. He doesn't care. But what does he care about? He cares about whether you're fair with people and whether you don't hate them and don't resent them and don't judge them and don't dump on them. He cares that you are patient with your kids. He cares that you don't resent your parents. Yeah, maybe they're not perfect, but you don't resent them. See, he cares about that kind of stuff. So it proves that he's good. If you do something that's not good, see, you hate your mom or something, you feel bad. Well, it's because he cares about that sort of thing. All right, so you got the idea. I don't have to belabor the point. So now we're talking about the spiritual life. Well, what can it be other than finding God? You want to find him and live in his presence. And the first way you can do that is just by when you sense that you've done something that's not right. You resented somebody. You said something mean to somebody. You secretly hated somebody. You lied a little bit about something. You stole something, that kind of stuff. Or you resent your husband. You resent your wife. See, you forget that your husband is just a man. But you resent him. You want something from him. He doesn't seem to have what you need. Yeah, it would be nice if he had it, but he doesn't. All right, don't resent him. It doesn't help any. So you want to find God, get close to your conscience. When you become aware that you did something wasn't quite right, you were phony with somebody, or you were dishonest, then just sense it. Let conscience rub your nose in it. Don't try to do anything about it. Don't try to make yourself right. Don't try to make up to the other person out of guilt or anything. Just see your own error and experience a little bit of chastising. It's a little embarrassment, a little bit of pain, a little bit of sadness, whatever it is. Just experience that.
When it seems like all we feel is the trauma and all we experience is trouble, we should look to Simeon as a reminder to trust. A meditation moment. I'm Jeremiah Trujillo. Simeon, in his lifelong search for consolation for his occupied nation and his oppressed people, finds it in the sight of the infant Jesus. Find more inspiration for your day at SheddingShackles.com.
All right, I promised you a video about God's economy and how much to give and how much not to give, and here it is. Hi, everyone. Welcome. I'm stopping by to talk about God's economy. In the human economy without God, well, let me start all over again. in nature, things draw from each other. The plant draws water from the ground. Animals draw in breath, air to breathe. The animal draws some mysterious support from the environment. The animal draws a mysterious strength from the environment. I don't know how to describe it, except even for humans, when you're home defending your castle, you have more strength somehow than if you're totally somewhere else in somebody else's house. You see what I mean? You draw some sort of strength from it, not to mention security and everything else. But things draw from each other. I think you got the idea. Well, in human society, let's say that it was a civilization ruled by God. But even if it's not ruled by God, he still gives his benefits. But I want to keep it real simple so that you understand totally. Let's say there was a society that was completely ruled by God, with everyone in the society, or most people, serving God, loving God, and therefore they would be honest, fair, brave, kind, and so on and so forth. So you have that, and industrious. And so in that society, people would give from themselves. They would give their strength, their energy, their love, their time, willingly to help others, to do their duty, to please God, to do his will. They give willingly. And it would be something like when you're at work, let's say when you're at work and it's a job you kind of like, and you're doing your work, whatever it is. When you work, you do a lot of things masterfully. And when the day is over, you don't even sometimes feel tired. You feel energized because it's work that you love. Yes, of course, you do get a salary for it. But now I want to give you the other way. And this is the way it is now in a society that is where a lot of people don't serve God. They're selfish. They're looking out for themselves, and some of them don't even know there is God. And so it's just for them, it's a dog-eat-dog world. You try to get over on people, try to keep them from getting over on you, take advantage when you can, grab for whatever you can get. And so it becomes an economy where instead of giving of oneself, it is taken from you. People take your energy. How many of you go somewhere with people and when you're done, you feel all tired? They somehow took your energy. People take from each other. They steal from each other. They steal each other's ideas. They take as much as they can and give as little back as possible. All right? But I want you to see that that's a zero-sum gain economy, where your win is the other person's loss, or their win is your loss. You see what I mean? But in God's economy, Adam Smith called it the unseen hand of God. In God's economy, people give because they want to. They see that it's right, that it's wise, it's their duty. They can help, they will. They give freely without thought of return. And God restores. In fact, he gives them more than they give, much more. You give a little bit, he gives you a lot. Now, I know there are certain philosophies and certain brands of Christianity where that's the goal, and people try to make that happen, but you can't make it happen. because you see, the thought in your mind is that you're going to get something for it. No, it. Jesus said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give. But do you see? When it really is working that way, you get more than you gave. Far more. That's God's economy. Now, the United States used to be something like that. Blessed. It still is to some extent. Blessed by God. And somehow, wealth was created. It came like out of nowhere. So I think I've made a very good point. And that is that, now I want you to see that if you are drained, if you suffer symptoms, even ailments that have to do with the loss, energy loss, you feel tired all the time. It could be that because of your attitude, you've set up the wrong economy for yourself. You're not in God's economy. You're in a dog-eat-dog, winner-loser economy. And maybe you're not very good at it, so people take more from you. See, they take from you. So your idea is to give as little as possible. See, but on the other hand, they may have you trained. See, the people around you who supposedly have your best interests at heart, even your parents, your mom trained you to give. Give, give, give. So you give of yourself to other people, and they take and take and take. And when you're done, you have nothing left. And you become trained. If someone comes up to you and asks you for money, you give it to them. And you even give your energy. You don't realize it, but you give your energy. So the first thing you have, so what is it that puts you into that wrong economy? Two things, resentment, see, and then wrong ideas. And thirdly, you have to start to give up your, don't be so prideful, so resentful, so judgmental. Soften up a little bit, because you think that by being hard and by being judgmental and hoarding what you have, you think that you're preserving, but you're not. All you're preserving is the kind of life that is, whether you like it or not, you take from somebody, and then somebody bigger and meaner than you comes along and takes it from you. See? And eventually, the fat cats at the top, if you'll pardon the expression, the big wigs, the powers that be, they have, the powers that be, they have all the wealth goes to them, and everybody else has nothing. So, first of all, you have to come around to God. Remember Him. And do what's right, not because you have to, but because you see that it's right. Not to please other people, but just because you see that it's right. If you give to someone, give because you see that it's the right thing to do or the wise thing to do. But not because they demand. See, if you're a part of that wrong kind of system that I was describing, then others are going to be very demanding, aren't they? All right, so you have to learn to seal that off. And if people demand of you, and it's not your place to have to give it to them, then just say, no, thank you. So how do you seal yourself off? Well, you need to start practicing the little meditation that I have so you can take a mental step back, mental distance. Someone comes up, I'm going to make something up. Someone comes up and says, hey, I want you to do all this stuff for me today and then give me $100. See, maybe in the past, you're the type that would say, well, okay. Or maybe you would resent them. See, and then because of your resentment, you would feel guilty and then you'd give in to them out of guilt, see? Or you'd get real angry and yell at them and say, no, 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 and then go off and feel guilty. You're still giving up your energy through the anger. Or you'd say no and rush off and then feel guilty and then give to somebody else, see? And you become a pushover. People train you and then pretty much they expect you to be a pushover. So you have to learn to have a little mental distance. And when they come up and say, hey, work, do all this stuff for me and give me $100. And you say, no, I don't think so. No, thank you. They come up to you and say, hey, would you do this for me? And you say, no, I have my job and I can't. Sorry. Simple. No feelings, no emotion. See? But on the other hand, if someone has something and you could help and you see that it's wise, it's not because you're a pushover, not because you feel guilty, not because you resented them and out of guilt now do it, not because you think you're going to get something back from them, but you see it's the right thing to do, okay, with no thought of the outcome, you see. So you'll start to give and take with the right measure of give, with the right measure of giving and taking. You'll come back to natural, so you're not giving the shirt off your back all the time. And on the other hand, you're not hiding as a recluse filled with resentment. See, you come back to balance, see? And then, see, from time to time, because of what you give or give up, God gives you even more. Because now you're in his economy. He loves to give gifts. But there has to be a need. So you have to see that you need him. You have to see that you don't have the answers. You need answers. That you don't know what to do. You have to see that. So there's a lot of things to see. The meditation helps. So I hope you enjoyed this little talk today. I enjoyed making it. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is sheddingshackles.com.
Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.